I've watched a lot of Disney movies over the last few weeks. And I've listened to more than I've watched because we had that DVD screen in the back seat of the van. So we, you know, road trip to Nashville and back, and it's just playing constantly. And I heard something while we were watching Nemo that I haven't heard before. I already knew what my sermon was going to be called, Let Go or Let It Go. So the scene is Nemo's dad, Marlin, and Dory are searching for Nemo, right? And they get swallowed by this whale. They're in the midst of all this krill, and the whale gets the krill and them. And Nemo's dad is freaking out. He freaks out about everything, right? He's nervous. He's always scared. Something bad's going to happen. Dory is just go with the flow, happy-go-lucky, or whatever, you know. So she's speaking well. She says she can speak well, right? Remember that? She's speaking to the whale, and he's like, you can't speak well. Just be quiet. I can too speak well. So all of a sudden, the water inside the well starts going down. And Marlin's freaking out about this. We're about to be swallowed. We're about to be swallowed. So they're on the whale's tongue, and they're getting sucked back into the stomach. And the whale is saying something. And Dory says she understands him. She says to Marlin, the whale says that we need to go to the back. He's like, that's because he wants to eat us. And so you see him, they're kind of leaning this way. The tongue is going this way, trying to force it to the back. And Marlin is hanging on. Well, he didn't have hands. Somehow he's hanging on with his fins. And the whale says something else. And Dory says, okay. And she says, let's go. And she falls back. And Marlin's like, what? And he reaches out and he grabs her. What are you doing? And Dory said, he said it's time to let go. The whale said it's time to let go. And Marlin says, how do you know something terrible is not going to happen? And she says, I don't. Well, the reason, the whale was actually trying to help him, trying to get them back so he could spit them out of his spout and free them into the ocean. And that's what happens. Of course, Marlin then is excited that he's free. He's outside the well. But I thought, that is so appropriate. We're driving to Nashville, and I'm listening to Nemo on the DVD player, and I hear that line. I think, that is so perfect. So many times we're hanging on to something because it's what we know. It's what we have in the present. We don't know what is back there. If we let go and trust, we don't know what's going to happen. You know what? How do you know something bad is not going to happen? We don't. We don't know. How do you know something good is not going to happen? We don't know. But we know we are called to trust. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3? Some of the verses are going to be on the screen up here. And we're going to start with verses 12 through 14. We're going to kind of skip around in this chapter of Philippians. This is a familiar chapter to, I'd say, probably everybody here. So I don't need to go into all the details. What's going on with Paul here. But he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. A lot of times when guys and when people preach on this, these verses, they focus on the "I press on toward the goal," that last phrase, because it's really is encouraging and it's inspiring to think about that Paul is pressing on, and I can do that too. I can press on toward the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. That's some encouraging words there, but I want to focus on the phrase right before that. "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind." That's the phrase I kind of want to lock in on today. Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting the things that happened in Paul's past. Now, what does Paul mean by this? Does it mean he intends to completely wipe his memory of all the bad things in the past that's happened to him? "I'm going to forget it. I'm going to lay it aside. I'm going to forget it." I don't think that's even possible for you, I, for me, or for Paul. See, Paul never forgot his failings, his frustrations. He never forgot all the difficulties he went through and the persecutions he went through. He never forgot how he suffered for Christ. The beatings and being arrested, prison. You know how we know he didn't forget these things? He keeps talking about them. He keeps bringing them up. This is not on the screen, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul's talking about that people are challenging his authority as a minister of the gospel. He says, "I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. And I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked." Paul says, "I'm going to forget all those things." Has he forgotten them? So something going on here, right? He says, forget those things, but he still remembers them. He recalls them. I think the key is, instead of allowing these negative, painful, stressful things to get in his way of running the race toward the prize, right? That's the thing. He's not going to wipe his mind clean, but he's not going to allow those things to hinder his pace as the runner, as he's running this race towards the prize of Jesus and the gift, that the prize that awaits him. You and I have things we need to forget about because of on this race we're running, because those things are slowing us down. Some negative things have happened to you in the past, maybe this year. And you're allowing that to slow you down in your pursuit of chasing Jesus. You've been hurt. Somebody close to you has hurt you. Financially, you've never been in such a tough, tight spot. I don't know what it is for you, but I guarantee you, you have something. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's poor choices, unwise choices. But something is trying to slow you down. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's guilt. You're eating up with guilt for something you've already asked for forgiveness from God. You've asked forgiveness from that person. And yet it's still hanging out there. And it's slowing down your race. So what do you do to let go of it? Let go of these things that are hindering a deeper relationship with Jesus. I don't know. I can't tell you how to really do it. I can tell you how to start. It starts with a decision, a choice. That's where it always starts. You have to decide, you're going to choose, I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to hang on to it. It is a rational decision you must make. So if you're hanging on to anger, you need to choose to let it go. If you're hanging on to fear, let it go. If you're hanging on to pride, let it go. If you're hanging on to guilt for past mistakes or unwise choices or sin, let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil or revenge or bitterness, let it go. If you're holding on to unhealthy relationship, you know that relationship is not good for you, let it go. If you're holding on to a habit that hinders your pursuit of Christ, let it go. Choose. Make a choice. Decide to let it go. Perhaps it's just a rotten attitude with your spouse or with your parents or your kids. It's slowing you down. Let it go. You may be holding on to self-pity. You may be holding on to self-reliance or self-importance. Let it go. Choose to let it go. We're going to push pause right there for a minute, and I'm going to ask you to take the pen and the paper that's on your chair. Some of the pens may not work, so you might have to swap it out for another one. On one side of the card, and no one's going to see this except for you and God, unless you choose to share it, I would like for you to write down some things that you think the Spirit is telling you that you need to let go of. Relationships, feelings, experiences, mindsets and mistakes, sin, choices, bad choices. Anything from your past that is hindering your pursuit of the prize of Jesus. Just take a few minutes. We have silence as you think and as you write. Just on one side of the card this time. It's understandable that Paul would want to forget the negative things in his life. It's easy to see how the painful, the ugly, the scary can get in the way of running towards our goal. But Paul also lets go of some positive things, some blessings that he's received in his past. On the surface, it doesn't make sense, maybe, to let go of positive things and blessings that God has bestowed on us. But Philippians 3, verses 4 and 6, Paul is talking about some of the blessings that God has bestowed on him. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I've circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, he's got the pedigree here. He's got the bloodline. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, very respected. Pharisees were respected. They knew the law. As for his, he had lots of zeal, and his righteousness was based on the law. It was flawless, is what he calls him, says about his past. Those aren't bad things. Now, there's a dot, dot, dot there. I left out something that is bad. As for zeal, he talks about persecuting the church. That's what he is really zealous about. But he had zeal. He had righteousness. And Paul chooses to leave those things in the past, to forget about those things. Paul could boast about more things. He could boast about, as far as we know, planting more churches than anybody else during that time. He could boast that Christ selected him on the road to Damascus, that Christ himself showed up to rebuke him and bring him back into the fold. That's something to brag about. Christ had already gone to heaven, and here he is coming back to get Paul on the right track. I'd be bragging about that. Paul could have been, he could have bragged about Jesus' commission to him. Jesus commissioned him to be preaching to the Gentiles. Paul had a lot to brag about, a lot of good blessings, a lot of positive things in Paul's life. He had so much influence on Christians in that area. And then if we look at even today, how much influence has he had on us? He wrote most of the New Testament. Paul is inspiring. A lot of good things in Paul's life. But Paul wants to run the race toward Jesus without distractions. It's easy to allow God's blessings to make us complacent and comfortable. And we tend to rely and trust on those things rather than putting our trust in God. For instance, your family is a blessing to you. At least I hope they are. They're intended to be a blessing to you. But that blessing can hinder your pursuit of Jesus. Hopefully it won't. But if you put more energy, more mental energy and physical energy into your family, and your family dictates your spiritual life and the choices you make about going to church and not going to church, about how much time you're able to give to other things. Don't get me wrong, I believe my family is my first calling, and I'm the only dad those kids are ever going to have. I'm the only husband my wife is going to have, right? But Jesus said, you have to hate your family compared to your love for him. And very often, it's easy. Maybe it's someone you're dating or married to. It's easy to lift that person or those people up higher than you lift up Jesus. You honor them more. You respect them more. You listen to them more. You allow them to sway you and persuade you more than the Holy Spirit does. It's a blessing, but it could be slowing you down. Your job, although it may feel like a J-O-B and you don't really like it, your job is a blessing. It's putting food on the table for your family. It's easy to let that blessing, to let that job become more important than your pursuit of Jesus. Making money is not a bad thing. But it's easy to allow money to hinder your pursuit of Jesus. There's a lot of good things that Paul says we need to forget about that. And we need to press on. It's harder to think about it that way. But a lot of these things are going to slow us down. They're going to slow down our momentum in our pursuit of Jesus. Some of us are stuck in our glory days. What I mean by that is, there was a time when you felt so connected to God, so close to God. You were growing leaps and bounds spiritually. But you're stuck there. And you kind of rely on that. That's your well house. You go back to that all the time when you're feeling low and drained and far from God, you remember, and that's good, that's good, that's a blessing to go back to that well house. God wants more for you. He wants you to keep growing. He wants to give you more and new experiences. So don't get stuck. Some people, when you talk about churches, are stuck in glory days for churches. I remember when we had more people at church. I remember when Kid Zone was just blowing it out of the water. I remember when so-and-so was on staff and how awesome that person was. I remember when. Those are blessings. But it's easy to get stuck in the glory days. And it's hindering our pursuit, maybe. So what are the blessings? Paul never really forgot the blessings. He never forgot all these good things. In Philippians 3, verse 7 through 9, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him." The things he considers garbage are good things. They're positive things. They're blessings. But compared to his pursuit of Christ, he says, I'm forgetting those things. Those things can't slow me down because I can put my trust in my family lineage. I can rely too much on my spiritual past. I can put too much emphasis and time and energy into my job. I could raise my family on a spiritual pedestal higher than I'm raising Jesus. These are all good things. They're blessings. They're positive things, but they can hinder our walk. If you're holding on to something so tightly, for instance, it could be that your intimacy with your group of friends is a great thing, right? We pride ourselves, I guess you could say that. That's something about unique to this church, I think, is how close people are. And your growth groups, I mean, that's some tight groups right there. And we want that. But do we need to forget about that so that we can move on? Could it be that the intimacy we love is hindering our pursuit of Jesus? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be intimate with the believers, to be in deep community. God wants us in deep community. But how many of our groups, or people in our groups, or our groups as a whole, are bringing new people in? I mean, I like to say our group is fat and happy. We don't need anything else. We got each other. We love each other. You know, if you have Lego blocks, some of them have, you know, like 12 little bitty raised circles, you know, so you can connect them. And people are like Lego blocks. A Lego block only has so many little connecting pieces. And once they're full, they're full. Could it be that our intimacy, our love for each other, which is a good, positive thing, but we have no room for new people? There's no room, there's no margin for non-believers coming into my life. Could be. Could it be that you're holding on too safely to the comfort of your Christian bubble? Because it feels good in here. In this Christian bubble I'm in, it's warm, it's inviting, there's lots of smiles, I know I'm cared for. But maybe I need to let that go a little bit and forget about it, set it aside. Maybe you're relying on your parents' faith. My parents, I love my parents. They're the best parents, and they are godly people, and they raised me to love God. And we went to church whenever the doors were open. Some of you are just like this. And we were taught right and wrong. Even today, I honor my parents as, I mean, I don't know where I would be without them, spiritually speaking. I don't know where my faith would be if they hadn't passed on their faith to me. But some of us may be relying on our parents' faith rather than developing our own faith. Why are you guys even sitting here this morning? Have you asked yourself that? Why are you sitting here and over there too? Why? Is it your faith that brings you here? Is it your parents' faith that brings you here? Parents' faith is a great thing. It's a blessing. But it could slow us down if we let it. Maybe we're trusting in our bank account. Maybe you're trusting too much in your the leadership and influence and power that God has given you in your various circles. We got to let that stuff go. We got to forget about it. We got to set it aside because those things, those good things, can hinder us. We want to count our blessings without trusting in our blessings. You got that? We want to count our blessings without trusting in our blessings. So this action step may be a little bit more difficult than the one we just did. But on the flip side of that card, I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes of silence and write down some blessings or some positive things that could be hindering your pursuit of Jesus. We're going to take a few minutes. If anyone would like to come and share this open testimony time, feel free to come on up and so we know how to pray for you. And so you can encourage us. We want to encourage you. We want you to encourage us. So if anyone would like to share something that's on your heart, come on up. Got these tall guys up here.
For myself, I've just passed through the busiest, most exhausting season of my life. And I knew it'd come to an end. I did. But nonetheless, I don't think I've ever been that stressed in my life. And whenever that happens, for me, it strikes fear in me that God's preparing me for something else. You know, what's going to be worse? And or harder, not worse, harder. And, you know, and I just want to lift up my friends here who have encouraged me and guided me. And I'm just dwelling on the timeliness of God and been reading a book this week. Josh, the pastor at Sycamore View?
Ross.
Yeah, Josh Ross. But there was a line in the book about ruthlessly letting go of hurry. I'm like, wow. That's me. I've basically been working four jobs, and you know, now we're moving out to take care of my folks, and I've let a lot of that go. And so, I don't even know what that looks like for me. The idea of sitting around and not doing something is egregious to me. I feel like I've wasted a day. I'm not sure I'll ever be wired to just sit around and just watch TV all evening. I hope I never am, to be honest with you. But, you know, I just want to pray for God to guide me in this season of whatever's next.
We didn't plan to come up together, but the term seasons has really become significant to me in recent years. Life goes through many different seasons, and I'm in one that's troubling at times, causes anxiety in me. I wrote on my card something about I'm concerned about my health issues, and I know my life is winding down, and I'm concerned about how that's going to affect my family. So that's real. That enters my mind quite often. And then on the other side, I thought about maybe I'm resting too much on the past, on my past ministries, and I'm not sure where God wants to lead me now. So I want to yield to that and just to be what he wants me to be. It also concerns me. There's anxiety about physically. I can't do what I used to do a lot of ways. I can't get under the sink and clean out that drain like I used to, which is stopped up right now. But things like that. So it's really a new season for me as well, Ken. And I kind of appreciate, understand a little bit what you and Hill have been dealing with and consolidating families and furniture and all those things. It's what do you do with all those beds?
Give them away.
You let go, right? You let go. So I want to just say a brief prayer and then Ken, maybe do. Father, thank you for Barry today and thank you for Paul. And writing those words so many years ago, and I'm sure they've been shared with people in all kinds of seasons of life. And thank you for Barry sharing them with us today. Looking back on the year, a lot of things have happened, but thankfully you were with us, Father. I just thank you for the people you put in my life that I can see your spirit working in them and transforming them. That is so encouraging. It's like John said something that I write to these little children, write to my dear children. And we never let us forget that we are your dear children. You have sought us, you have bought us, and you're with us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the precious ones here today. And thank you again for Barry and sharing your love and your message with us. Amen.
Good.
He says he's good.
Two things that's always hard to let go was depression and trusting people. I can guess say that kind of goes together in a way. Just trusting people in general was really hard for me because of the fact that people see that I have a kind heart and they usually take that for granted. And for a long time, it was really hard for me to trust people, really, really hard, even though they could be my friends for 3-4 years or longer. Because how other people treated me, I always expected for them to go that way. Sometimes it did happen, and other times it didn't. And that's depressing to me. Not just friends, relationships. It's hard to even trust in a relationship, even though someone has done you wrong multiple times. And that would always make me depressed. That would always put me in a real, real dark place. A place to even this day I'm still trying to fight to not go back to. I can honestly say this is the first time I'm actually single in almost 10 years. I'm used to being in a relationship. But to not be in one, I guess some people say the single life is cool. But if it's all you know is to be in a relationship, then to me it's hard. That's another depression that I have. Sometimes I feel like maybe I'm not hard enough, maybe I'm not worthy enough of being loved or not worthy enough of having somebody at my side. But I always knew whether if I didn't have nobody that I had to think that God is setting me up for somebody. depression is something that I have to let go. It's hard because every little thing triggers me, and every little thing triggers me to go back into that dark place. I have to learn to let that go. And not just me, and I know a lot of us out here have those thoughts, have those depression thoughts, have those suicidal thoughts. It's been a journey for me since high school to fight this, and it's still a fight. And I can honestly say that I've made it this far if it wasn't for God. It will always be in the back of my mind, but I know that with God I can control it, and that's just one thing I have to let go and let God take over and not let the devil put those thoughts in my mind.
I thought maybe somebody shorter ought to get up here. We sold our business in 2013. Talked to the guy that was sales manager over the warehouse where we bought most of our stuff. Said, think you could use somebody that's been on the other side of the counter. Oh, we'd love to have you. He never did call me. So I contacted another warehouse that we had done some business with, and I guess I'm so old school. It'd been 45 years since I don't know that I ever filled out a resume or a application. But I went up there, and I said, could I see the sales manager? And they said, do you have an appointment? And I said, no, I don't have an appointment, but I needed to talk with him. And so he comes out and says, now what can I do for you? And I said, well, I'm sold our business and thought maybe I could be a good hand here. And he says, you probably ought to send that in, you know. And I'm just thinking, I said, I can't sell myself on paper. I'm a people person. I got to talk to you. And so he, about this time, another guy comes by and said, hey, Cisco, I hear you sold your place. And I don't know what that did, but the guy said, well, come on in. Now things changed, you know. Anyway, he says, send in a resume. So I've never done that. So Mike comes over and he helps me fix out a resume, and we get through, and I said, who is this guy? Wow, I said. He said, Dad, you don't see yourself like that, but this is what you do in fixing a resume. So I did, and I sent it in, and I didn't hear anything, you know. So I began to get a little depressed, you know. I said, oh, you done got so old, nobody wants you. And I didn't know what to do, you know. And so Megan Epperson was here, and she says, you know, they might be hiring a driver over at dental lab. Well, I didn't have any prideful stuff. I'm glad to do whatever I can do, and I love to drive anyway. So I go over there in January of 2014, and I thought maybe I had that, you know. Well, February come, March come, and then the 17th of March, they call me, and they hired me. And I said, wow, I didn't think I was going to ever get in anywhere, you know, because, but I had always felt like I got to fix everything as a dad or a husband or any relationship or anything. You got to be the guy to do it. But I wasn't trusting in the Lord, trying to do it on my own. So I've had great opportunity, but one of the things I put on my card was my work. I need to let go.
But excuse me. I guess I realized how important that work was to me to allow me to survive. There's another issue. If I didn't work, we don't eat. So that means a lot of changes have to take place. I have a hard time trusting the Lord to take care of that. But I know I can't work forever. So I'm going to have to learn how to trust. So if you'll pray for me there.
As you know, that 2017 has been a blessing to many of us, and God has been good to me, and I always thank Him because He has blessed me immensely. I cannot count His blessings. But as you know, that 2017 had been very tough and hard for me. As you know, that February 14, the date I will never forget, when my wife passed away, and she left me alone. My life changed. Sometimes I do feel loneliness. But when I feel for loneliness, I go to God. And I feel that God is present with me. I talk to Him and pray to Him, and God comfort me. Sometimes I don't have any person to talk with while I'm in my apartment. So sometimes I pick up my phone and I try to call somebody whom I know, so that I may express my thoughts and I may communicate to somebody. If I don't find anybody in America, I call Pakistan and talk to my friends and talk to my brothers and sisters if I can communicate. So these things has hurt my feelings, but I know that God gives and He takes away also. In some things, over some things, we don't have control. We cannot do anything. Last Friday, I visited my neighbor, the boy who's very sick, and I wanted to visit him. He's 16 years old, and he has surgery. And because it was my first visit to that family, and so his mother asked me, how many people live in your apartment? I said, we used to live too, but my wife passed away this year. And that boy started crying and weeping. He was so emotional. And her mother told me that he has seen five people dying. And the boy was saying, I want them back, no. I want them back, no. But mother said, son, we cannot do that. It's very difficult. They are with Jesus. They are with Jesus. So he calmed down. Although bad things happen, but the people who have trust in God, who have faith in God, they survive. I know that when Shakuntala died, the grief was too much heavy for me that my heart started sinking. And I had to go to ER, you see, emergency room. And then the doctor checked my heart and they said, he has a lot of stress, mental stress, so this is the cause. And he let me go home. So I know that it's very difficult, but no, we must know that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Father himself is always with us. And although being a human being, sometimes I feel grief, sorrow, anxiety, because I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. Sometimes I lost my confidence. But that's okay. But one thing I have learned in my life, that is whether good or bad things happen, just praise the Lord and thank him.
Thank you all for sharing.